Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. We're going to dip back into the world of coaching this morning. We do that quite often. And we're going to welcome back Dr. Shakira Miller, who was our guest last week with Jim Masters, who had a great conversation with Jim. And we've asked her to come back, and we're going to explore her world a little bit more today. She is a seasoned educational leader. She has well over 25 years of experience, and she's launching a new initiative herself, and it's called JJMP Coaching and Consulting, and it's based where she is. She's in Iceland, New Jersey. It's a firm that's going to focus on providing transformative leadership coaching for individuals and for teams. She works with teams a lot as well across various sectors. And this is going to give her a chance to leverage her extensive background as an assistant superintendent in the Newark School District. I'll get it out. Dr. Miller aims to empower leaders by facilitating impactful behavior and team coaching sessions. And her firm is called JJMP Consulting. And it really is an acronym for Jehovah Jireh, My Provider. It mirrors her Christian faith, emphasizing that God provides for all needs. And this foundational belief kind of sets the tone for the holistic and ethical nature of her coaching practice. Jehovah Jireh embodies the essence of divine providence, says Dr. Miller, and through JJMP Coaching and Consulting, she's going to offer that same sense of support and guidance for leaders striving for excellence. She has a remarkable background in the educational sector that began in her hometown in Newark, where she grew up and pursued her passion for teaching and leadership. And let me just tell you a little bit. She, over the course of 25 years, she has worn a number of hats, including teacher, vice principal, principal, and assistant superintendent in diverse and challenging environments. It's great to have her back with us today, and I'm going to welcome her back and just say it's great to have you with us and ask her to explain a little bit about her background. It's really a remarkable background, and it's great for what you're doing now. So, Dr. Miller, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. How are you this morning? Good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me back. I am great this morning. I'm excited to be back.
Okay, good.
I'm just happy.
Well, do me a favor. I mentioned a little bit about your background, but I know it's really a remarkable background for what you're about to start doing now. Tell me a little bit about your background. Explain a little more in detail, okay?
Well, again, you already knew that I grew up in Newark, lived in three different housing projects in the city, so and raised by a single mom and just a great village of aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors. So it's just being home and working here and coming back as an assistant superintendent in my time has been just wonderful. So I graduated from the elementary school in Newark. I had great teachers, and they saw something in me, which is what this is what leads me to, I guess, where I am now. They saw that I was a student who worked hard, and they saw different opportunities that were available to me that I did not know were available. And so I became a White Foundation scholar. I got a scholarship to go away to a boarding high school, and then I loved mathematics, so I thought I was going to be an accountant. So when I graduated from Blair Academy, I went on to Lehigh University, where I, again, thought I was going to be a mathematician and an accountant, but I fell in love with a psychology class. But I wound up having to come back home to Newark, and I graduated from Rutgers University, the Newark campus. And in that time, I just started doing different teaching opportunities, like being a substitute teacher, and then I became like a GED teacher for the Urban League in the city of Newark. But then I decided to venture out back to outside of home to Philadelphia, and I taught at a private school in Philly. But then again, I wanted to come back home to Newark, and I became a math teacher. I was hired at a job fair for the Newark Public Schools, and that's where everything took off. I earned my master's, my first master's from Teacher College, Columbia University, and then my second one from St. Peter's University in Jersey City. And then I went back to earn my doctorate eventually in education leadership from Teachers College, Columbia University. But in that time, I worked, again, as you mentioned, from a teacher to a vice principal, and then a principal, and then assistant superintendent. I did venture out of Newark and worked in Irvington and Roselle, other cities within the state of New Jersey, as assistant superintendent for the curriculum and instruction. And one was an intern, and then another one was a full-time position. But then, I returned back home, where I've been an assistant superintendent of different schools for the past 7 years. I currently lead 14 principals, and I coach them in different areas of leadership. I'm sorry. So with me coaching my principals and different vice principals as well, and just venturing out, I knew that I wanted to do coaching for my joy. I love coaching. I love supporting principals and anyone, leaders. I currently coach people who are not educators, and I coach them in different aspects of areas that they want to improve upon or they want to grow in or a challenge that they may be facing. I get to coach them in that. So, and it's, again, it's my happy place, it's my peace. So it led to me wanting to become certified in the area of coaching. What I learned in my training is that what I was thought was coaching was not really coaching initially. It was more of advising. And so now, under all the training I've received, I've learned what it is to truly coach an individual. I learned through the Center for Executive Coaching, I became a certified executive coach and a certified team coach. And then now through the International Coaching Federation, I'm a professional certified coach. So I just want to continue to grow, learn and about coaching and mastering that area in order to build my business. I'm studying now to receive the endorsement from the International Coaching Federation as a team coach. I'm working on that endorsement so I can really, you know, solidify my space and my knowledge through my business that, you know, I'm someone to really work with and knows how to support teams and coach teams and individuals. So that's a little bit of my background.
Well,
what I've done so far.
That's a great description. It's interesting you never strayed too far from Newark. You kept coming back home. Obviously, you love it there. that's great. That's great. Let me just talk to you a little bit about the world of coaching. You know, it's become very big. There are a lot of people who dip into, you know, become coaches. What do you think is going to be unique about your coaching practice? Who do you believe primarily would be the kind of people you end up coaching? Because it sounds to me like you're equipped to coach almost anyone, whether they're coming from the world of business or whatever, or education, as you do. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I would love to coach outside of the education field, and that's my goal with getting off the training that I've received and studying and getting endorsed, earning my PCC and hopefully getting endorsed through the International Coaching Federation for team coaching. So my ideal coaching clients would potentially be outside of the education field because I'm so familiar with it. We tend to want to, if we're in the field we're coaching, we tend to want to advise. So it takes a lot more work for me to not give the answer, especially if I've experienced it. I have to really be intentional about sitting back and not giving advice to my client. It's more of asking those powerful questions to pull it out of them because they're the expert. They know, or if they don't know, they're going to grow in learning it through the coaching process. And so that's my goal, is to be able to coach outside of the education field or any field, especially with teams.
You know, you're describing your coaching practice, specializing in behavior coaching. That's an interesting term, and explain what that means. You know, when you're coaching some behavior, it makes it sound like maybe those are folks who have, you could be working with children who have behavior problems, but that may not be what it's about at all. Tell me, what do you think?
So behavior coaching is basically coaching that you work on to change a behavior, but it's for maximum impact on maybe the client's leadership, but the end result is that it yields maximum results. So behaviors are measurable, typically. So when a client wants to create a new habit or a new behavior, it can be seen or not seen. So when you're coaching for behavior, it brings about metrics and accountability and, again, hopefully results. So in that, the client can gain valuable feedback. So the greatest benefit, in my opinion, for behavior coaching is that you have a way to measure and document your results. So if a person says that they want to change the behavior in order to make sure that they improve or get the job that they want or the raise or the promotion that they want, they are intentional about measuring that behavior and making sure that they do or don't do it, whatever that behavior is, whatever they've chosen mm-hmm. to do. So again, there's value in behavior coaching. So if the client places value on that behavior and the potential for that behavior to improve, you know, outcomes, profit, et cetera, whatever the company or organization wants. So, again, that behavior may seem minor to some people, but it can have the potential to lead to significant improvements in results and outcomes for the individual person, the company, the team, the organization. So, for instance, if a client exhibits certain behaviors that may be seen as arrogant, like arrogance is subjective. Oh, someone can believe that. That word arrogant itself is not measurable, but the behaviors that someone may feel may be that way may potentially be holding a client back. So we can say something to the effect that the person may speak over people, may cut people off, may not allow people to have their own individual thoughts. Those may be three specific behaviors that someone is exhibiting. That's measurable. So the client can be intentional about making sure, okay, let me not cut people off. Let me not, let me hear everyone, let me allow people to finish their statements in its entirety. So it is allowing and making sure that they keep track of the behaviors that they're exhibiting. It's a process, and it changes and improves, hopefully, over time. But that is what I've learned in my sense of behavior coaching. It can support the client in identifying the behaviors and changing them to improve productivity. So
that's very good. Yeah, no, I want to point out you have boy, we're having a frog problem this morning. You have
yes.
a great website that really describes how your coaching practice works and what you specialize in. Let me point out it's jjmpconsulting.com, and the JJMP stands for. I want to ask you to go into this a little bit. If you look at the word, it looks like jump coaching, but it's not. You
uh-huh.
named you named your practice specifically. Describe why you picked that name for your practice. And I described it a little bit in the beginning, in the opening, but tell me
yes.
more about it. Why did you pick that name?
So JJMP, you're absolutely right. When people see it, they initially think jump. And so on a business card, they'll say to me, oh, jump. And I say, no, it's actually JJMP. And they'll say, you know, well, what does it stand for? And it stands for Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I am a Christian woman. And initially, my business started with my married name. The last name was formerly Harrington. So it was Harrington Leadership Solutions. But it never got off the ground. I just had a name. I didn't have a website. I started over 3 years ago, and I couldn't get my website up and going. I couldn't even think of a logo. I couldn't think of anything that would help me get my business to start going. And so I, as a Christian woman, I said, all right, God, what is it that you want? me to do? What am I supposed to do with this name? Because no matter what, I was going on this path. I've been running this path for coaching, and I knew that I was in training, I was getting certified, but I needed, and everyone else told me, oh, you need to have just social media would be enough. And I really wanted a website. And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I prayed, I fasted, I was in consecration, and I really wanted to make sure that it was something that embodied me, who I was, and just me spiritually. And so I was coached through what was limiting me to getting my website up and running. I actually had a coach, and I was just trying to figure it all out, and I was nervous, and I worked through it. And then JJNP emerged, Jehovah Hot Jireh, my provider, and it represents my love for God and how he is my provider. It reflected on my life and some of my struggles, and I realized and just remembered how God saw me through various struggles, and he continues to do so. So my faith in God has led me to how I coach and how I lead, and I want JJNP, coaching and consulting, to be a place where people, companies, organizations, where they come to bring out, where they come to receive the coaching and support to bring out the best in them through whatever struggles and challenges they may be facing or anything that may be prohibiting them from being the best organization or the best top team or the greatest employee, whatever their role, that I want JJNP coaching and consulting to be, to help them be the best at it, and that it also they're able to yield results through it.
Well, that's so, a very good explanation. That's very good. Very good. Good for you. You know, one of the things you obviously want to focus on and are going to focus on, and your background, you know, as an educator working with students for over 25 years, obviously prepares you well, and that is within coaching teams and team functionality. Talk to me a little bit about how you do that, how you're going to do it, and why you think you're so, you know, prepared for team coaching.
Okay, so I find that there is so many benefits to team coaching. I think about my retirement within the next few years. I'll have options, and my biggest option is to work full-time on my coaching business, and I definitely want to focus on teams. I will continue to do individual coaching, but teams is where it's at. Coaching teams is great. There are key discoveries around, you know, what's working well and what can be better with teams. The focus on teams is about the accountability of everything. The team is the expert, not even a coach. So imagine not just one person, you know, being the deciding factor of how successful an organization can be. You need a team. You need a group of people, a group of individuals who work as a team, who function as a team, to be successful in your business, whatever that organization may be. So for me, the benefits for, you know, team coaching for the actual team is, you know, there's alignment around where the team is going, like what their vision is, and you know, what's important to them. They get to have enhanced relationships with their team members. Goals become much more clear and focused. They sustain the focus of whatever that work may be, what's working, what's not working, what supports are in place for them. So I believe that there's plenty of benefits for the team. And then just the team itself, but then you think about the organization, the potential for higher productivity, clearer vision, and greater alignment to whatever that organization's goals and visions are. You begin to have, like, stronger relationships within your teams, and clearer goals linked to, you know, the organization and the overall business of the team. So for me, I think that it's the work and insight that occurs when the teams are working together, they're processing what they're learning, and then they navigate various activities and towards their success. I think the absolute best way to build a team is to assess what they currently have in place, if one already exists. Build on those strengths, refine the areas like that may be in need of growth, and then work towards common goals. But then again, you know, that's easier said than done. I've been there. But if a team doesn't exist, there's such beauty in building it from the start. The leader will be able to be coached on whatever their hopes, their fears, fantasies about their organization may be, which will lead to, you know, the vision for the team and the needs. And again, there's beauty in determining who will be part of your team and ensuring that those members are aligned with your vision, your priorities, your values, your goals. It's important that the leader or the leaders who are coached, they're coached through the process as well in establishing their team. So for me, I absolutely love working with teams because to me, again, one person can't make an organization successful by him or herself. Similar to our school district, we have a superintendent. And with that superintendent, there are multiple people under it needs like a chain of command. That superintendent can't have that organization, the school district will not function and be successful alone just by one individual. There's groups of people who function as a team to bring success at different areas, different levels for that organization, the actual school district. So, and you can talk about the team dynamics. If they're not successful in certain areas, it's how you coach them through those challenges that they may be facing that is limiting them in being successful and having successful outcomes. So for me, that's what I would want to do, focus on teams. And I love working with my teams now.
Give me a description of the kind of teams you're talking about. I mean, you know, everybody's thinking about football teams and baseball teams right now. But in your mind, you know, what do you envision the size of the teams? It could be three people, it could be 20 people, couldn't it? It absolutely could be.
So if I think of, like right now, I lead a team of 14 people, one team.
Yeah.
And then I lead another team that consists of four additional people. We all have different functions, and we all – different functions for the overall organization, within the overall organization, but we all need each other in some way, shape, or form to, again, make sure that the organization is successful. I will be able to coach – it doesn't matter the number. You can always mix subset different smaller groups of teams to be able to function. But then there's also the possibility for individual coaching within the team. So we can ask various questions like what's working, what's not working. It's like a 360 interview of the different individuals within the team. So then we get the perspective from everyone within the team. So again, the team size can vary.
Sure, yeah. Well, it sounds you are highly prepared to deal with team coaching. There are a number of other areas that you're going to specialize in and that you do specialize in. Career coaching is one of them. That's really interesting. Talk to me a little bit about that. You're helping people decide on a career. Would this be when they're early on, just starting out, maybe just getting out of school? Or could this be someone who's stymied in their career and it's not going very well for them, and they've already been working, you know, in a job for maybe 10 years or something like that?
I'm actually working with one of each that you just said. I have a client who has reached the end of his career, and he was thinking about the end of his career, and he wants to transition out of the career, not retire, but he just doesn't want to be in the area that he's in. He wants to transition. So it's actually, I'm coaching him through that. And then I have another individual who I recently coached who wanted a promotion, but in another field. And I coached her through that process in that time frame just to help her transition to the next career path. I've coached people who were retiring and they wanted to determine what was next for them. Okay, so this is the field that they're so accustomed to. They've been in the field for 20, 30 years, and now they want to leave this field and go to the next, and what does that all mean for them? The fear, the limiting beliefs, all were in that through that process. And so they've actually chosen another career path outside of what they've been accustomed to for so many years. And I was able to coach them through that. So I enjoyed that aspect of it because it became their aha moments, because initially they thought, okay, I'm going to stick in this area one area, and it turned out that that's not really what they wanted to do, what they really felt their passion, they were passionate about, and what they just felt that they would be successful, and moved on to another one. So it's about those revelations that the individuals feel once they get the various coaching that they wanted. But the career coaching was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, one of the things that you also list in on your website, it's very interesting, and I haven't seen this before. As you point out, being excellent is a manner of life, not just a goal, and that your coaching is designed for people in groups that want to perform at their highest level in both their personal and professional lives. In other words, high-performance culture is something you specialize in. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's similar to when you're coaching a team, and if you have individuals who are working within that and something's stagnant about the culture of the organization itself, and that they're not seeing outcomes, they're not seeing performance, they're not seeing success in whatever areas, and the culture itself is impacting that, it's coaching them through that to help them understand what it looks like for them, how are they going to do it, and then, again, holding them accountable for the success in that culture. So it's just that whatever it is that the organization and the team members see, and then it's really impactful when it comes from the leader, what makes it a high-performance culture for the leader and what his or her expectations may be, and then making sure that it's through the organization itself, through the team.
Yeah. That's great. That's
I enjoy
really
it
great.
A lot.
You know, I was going to ask you how you work. You work with people in person, and you're based in Newark in that area.
Yes.
But you also point out that you plan to travel extensively to meet some clients in person if it's necessary to kind of offer both flexibility and personalized engagement. That's kind of rare, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know, I actually enjoy in-person coaching more than I do virtual or on the phone coaching because you get to get a sense of the individual you're coaching, what the body language. I get to notice nuances, and I get to hear, see, feel, you know, through the coaching process. And then with teams, it's even better to be in person with team, a group of people rather than virtual, because then you're thinking about, you know, breaking them up into different classrooms inside the online, but you can break them up in groups and be in person. It's something very special about being in person and being with the group, working together. So I don't have any challenges or difficulty, or I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to go in person. So that's something that I will want to do when the time comes for me to go and coach in person. I enjoy it much more than the virtual.
Well, there must be a limit as to how far you can travel. You may get a call from somebody in California, you know.
I have friends who coach, and they coach in California, and they love it. Love it. I don't have a client in California, but I would love it. Like, just to be able to one, travel, and then be able to meet with the individuals in their comfort zone, to be able to help coach them and support them through their next steps, whatever that may be, and then helping them be accountable for that.
Well, I know this is a new venture for you, but you're excited. I can tell you're really excited about what you're about to be doing now and launching. We've been talking to Dr. Shakira Miller. She is based in Iceland, New Jersey. It's in the Newark area. But her firm has a great website. If you're interested, go to her firm, check it out. It's jjmpconsulting.com. jjmpconsulting.com. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for coming back and being our guest today. You gave a really good explanation of exactly what you're going to be doing and how you're doing it with your clients. You know, it sounds like to me you are well prepared to be a coach, and I know you're excited about it, aren't you? Very much so.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so wonderful, this experience.
Good enough.
But I thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you, ma'am. It's been great having you as a guest. No question. We enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Well, that's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.